You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
This is Ashley Winch.
And this is Allison Renborg, and we are coming to you live from Columbus, Ohio, from Equine Affair, with a special episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Friday, April 10th, episode 3923. This episode is brought to you by Equine Affair. Good morning, Horse World!
Allison, I'm so excited to be here with you for my second Equine Affair.
I know, and you're here solo. You're flying without Glenn. We left him at home.
I know. I'm like, where's my dad? I don't know what to do.
You're like a lost puppy. No, you, every time I've seen you, you have been walking around, you've got your mic, you're ready, you're taking the world by storm.
I am, and it's been so fun to see some familiar faces and hug all my friends, and some new faces here too. There's lots of really cool new artists, new vendors, new retailers, and I can't wait to see some of the clinics and panels later today. It's just the funnest place to be.
It is. I called it online this is one of my two happiest weeks of the year. I have Ohio and then I have Massachusetts. So I kind of have the dream job. I want for 2 weeks out of the year.
I think the hardest part is just not spending all my money.
Yes. Well, you already bought the saddle for your kid last year.
He outgrew that one, Allison.
Oh, so you need a new one.
Levi needs a new saddle.
You need a new big one. Yeah, it's perfect.
And I was in the adoption barn yesterday.
And how was that?
Oh, my gosh. There was, I think, about 40 horses up for adoption this year. And I was there at, like, maybe 11 o'clock noon yesterday, and already five had been adopted.
Well, and I happen to know maybe two of them were adopted by Hayden Crystal.
She did not.
She did. She adopted Chimichanga and Don Napkin. They're a pair of minis, a mini horse and a mini donkey.
Oh.
And I knew she would. She'd been talking about them forever. And then she came up to me and she looked like she tried to look really sad. And she's like, well, Don Napkin and Chimichanga have been adopted. And I just looked at her and I went, by you? And she went, yes. So, yes.
I always knew I loved them. They're incredible. And I'm just glad I wasn't in the adoption barn at the same time they were.
It would have been a fire on gasoline. Yeah. I don't know, gasoline on fire. Actually, I can't make that joke.
steer left.
Between the two of you, you would have adopted everything.
Every single one.
Yes.
And it would have been really fun to get them all back to Albuquerque.
Exactly. Well, their excuse to me was that those two came from Oklahoma. And apparently the ASPCA also gives like a $500 voucher for travel for non-rideable companion horses.
Wow.
So
good to know.
It was almost like they were being paid to take them.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, I think so.
How could Hayden refuse?
That is impeccable girl math.
I think it's perfect.
It is.
And I'm trying to stay away from the adoption barn because there is a gorgeous gray horse over there that I saw his picture and I fell in love with it.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I cannot go meet you in person.
No. Don't do it.
I can't.
Don't do it.
His name is Ghost, so go look him up on the website. And by the way, all the adoptable horses and all the sale horses, all their info and pictures are on Equine Affairs website. So if you want to adopt, or if you just want to, you know, encourage someone here like Ashley to adopt, just go on the website.
They all are just so darling, and so many of them are well trained. I was so surprised as I was talking to the trainers. I mean, one did hunter, jumper, dressage, and trail. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yes.
Really, really cool.
Yes. You never know what education they have until they have a chance to sort of rest and recover and like come out of their shells, and then all of a sudden, there are gyms out there.
Yes.
That, through no fault of their own, they need a new home and you could luck out. So
amazing. Well, tell me what we've got going on the show today.
Yes. So today, our auditors will know that I asked in the group. I said, who do you want to hear from? Who do you want to hear from at Equine Affair? And so I took your advice, and I have been working behind the scenes to find us some good guests. And so today I'm really excited about the two that I picked. And then I know Ashley has a whole bunch that she has gone around and talked to. But first up, we'll have Jessica Blair Phelps. She is our Fantasia performer.
Oh, my gosh.
She's very exciting, very cool. And she's sitting across the table from us right now. And so if any of our auditors were here and saw her perform last night, I heard it was amazing. And I'm going to see it tonight. So that's our first guest. And then next, we're going to hear from Dave of MyStride, which is a cool little app that'll help you streamline your horse owning experience.
Well, I can't wait. Let's dive right in.
Let's do it. As one of the most sought-after performers in the equine industry, Jessica Blair Phelps has been thrilling crowds with her dazzling performances and beautiful horses for over 10 years now, and including last night, because she performed, I think it's her Fantasia debut, last night in opening night of Fantasia. So tell us how that went for you.
Yeah, it's great. I've been wanting to do Fantasia for a long time now. You know, I rodeo all the time and I do some other horse expos, and I love the nighttime shows that highlight all the different horse acts because there's so many good ones. And, you know, with rodeo, I'm always the only one at that specific event, so I don't get to visit and see the other ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's always great to be in a room full of people that just love horses. It's such a more, I guess, a forgiving audience, and they just want to be there and enjoy the horses and see all the pretty things, right? And the act that I'm doing with my two Andalusians, Casanova and De La Vega, so it's a relatively new act. I debuted them at the Denver, at the National Western in Denver this year, at their nighttime Dancing with Horses show. So I thought they did pretty good. I'm on my own worst critic, so I can pick it apart when nobody else sees it. I did pick up a wrong lead, and I'm like, dude, that was the easier part of the act. Why are we on the wrong lead? And then he wouldn't want to fix it. I'm like, just smile through it.
That's you know? Right.
So. Well, you were talking before we got started about how it's a new act, and these are kind of newer horses mm-hmm. for you. And so what's it been like to take that from the practice ring to Fantasia? Like, now you're out there with the crowd.
I mean, in the practice ring, I'm on top of the world. We're amazing. We're the best in the world. You know, we're going to be the biggest new thing since sliced bread. And then you get in the arena, and then it's like, oh, no, you're not. You suck. It sucks to suck. Good for you. We're going to make a fool out of you. But that's just part of it. And I think that's the one thing with people that holds them back is you're afraid to look stupid. And if you can't get out of that comfort zone and not be afraid to make a fool of yourself, then you're not going to go anywhere.
It's kind of like when you're afraid to look stupid, that's when you look stupid.
Yes.
I've realized.
Yeah.
Like,
you just have to own it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Embrace it.
Embrace it. Go with it.
Yeah.
I make a bigger fool out of myself trying to play it safe than I do when I just go out on the limb and do it.
Yes.
So
and a little self-deprecating humor goes a long way in those situations.
Yes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So can you describe a little bit of your act without giving it all away for our listeners at home who aren't able to make it to Equine Affair?
Yeah, so I've got two Andalusians. De La Vega is my newer guy. He's solid black, very flashy. I love him. And then Casanova is gray, but almost completely white. So it's a black and white theme. Mm-hmm. We go to the little Michael Jackson music because it matches the beat of the passage. And I ride one horse and work another at Liberty.
Oh, fun. Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. My God. I can barely ride one horse like at any given time, let alone working two horses at the same time. My brain is malfunctioning.
Well, see, my brain has been malfunctioning too because like this is new for me, and I usually, you know, I started off trick riding and then started Roman riding.
Okay.
And that act is so ingrained in my brain. I don't have to think. I'm smiling at the audience, I'm waving, I'm having fun. I'm not even thinking about where I'm going next. I just know. In here I'm thinking, "Oh wait, I need to make another circle. Oh, where am I in the music? Oh, my whip's in the wrong hand. Oh, my reins." And then to be trying to ride in a dressage frame, which
yep.
I'm not by any means a dressage queen, but trying to hold that frame and keep the horse right and then using a whip and switching hands. And then I'm all just discombobulated.
And all while looking gorgeous and smiling.
Yeah,
and
smiling, chin up, chest out, shoulders back.
You showmanship.
Know,
yeah.
All the things.
All the things.
It's
breathe,
amazing.
Breathe. I don't really breathe.
That's the one that always
breathing
gets
is overrated.
Me. Overrated.
Yeah.
How much oxygen do we really need?
It's fantastic. You know? So have you always been a Liberty Andalusian type rider, or where did you start?
Liberty and Andalusians specifically are a newer thing for me. I fell in love with them a few years ago. A friend had one, and they are an amazing breed of horse.
Yes.
And for a while, I rodeoed and still do professionally. So I make my living on the backs of quarter horses.
Sure.
They're my bread and butter. They're my workhorses.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, my Andalusians are just my pretty little sprinkle over here getting all the attention. But I actually grew up showing Tennessee walking horses,
wow,
flat shod and versatility Tennessee walking horses.
Love
and,
it.
And still have my mare. She's 34 years old.
Oh, what's her name?
Shadow. Well, she has a terrible registered name, so we just gonna call her Shadow. But she's 34, and she was born when I was 5.
Wow.
Oh, my god.
She was the first one we had, and she's got amazing blood. She's like out of Pride at Midnight. Or a anyway, not getting into all that, but she's very old.
Yes.
And was out of a very old mare. She was like my grandfather's pride and joy.
Aww,
so we showed at the celebration, the international, and some stuff like that. So
that's so cool.
And you know, I still love gated horses.
Yeah, walking horses are, so I'm from Tennessee, you're mm-hmm. from Tennessee. We had our little Southerner reunion, yep, before the show started. You guys can hear the accents.
Everyone
coming
had
out.
Sweet tea. It was darling.
Everything, yeah. Yes. Tennessee walking horses are such cool horses to trail ride on, to do versatility on, to do flat shot on.
Oh, they're just so good-minded. And they're so kind.
They're so kind.
And this might make me sound a little judgy, because I judge. We listen and we do judge.
That's
at
right.
my house. But I've taken some lessons in some dressage barns, and I've taken some lessons in some jumping barns just for fun. And there's always some people that are not confident riders, and you see them on these 17-hand warm bloods, mm-hmm, scared to death. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girl, go get you a walking horse and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Right, we're supposed to be having fun.
What are you doing? You're scared to death. You're 55, 60 years old.
That's a long way
down. I'm going to be there, too. It's a long way down, and you're on a horse that really kind of wants to kill you.
Yeah.
Go get you a nice 15-hand Tennessee walking horse or gated horse and just enjoy yourself.
And enjoy. They have incredible gaits. They're
so
smooth.
Incredible.
It's so comfortable.
And so good-minded.
So sweet.
Yes.
And the longevity.
Yes.
Because you're talking about your 34-year-old, and I had a very elderly walking horse mix who was my first pony who I lost after 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll be there forever.
Forever.
And even after he wasn't rideable anymore, he was really just such a companion for me and for my other horses. So just, we got to brag on our walking horses.
Yeah, and I don't mean any shade towards warm bloods or hot-blooded breeds, because they have their purpose.
Of course they
do. But they're a powerhouse.
Yes.
And not everybody needs a powerhouse.
Right.
Yes.
I don't want a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And I want more woe.
I want just to, even now I'm like, oh, can I just enjoy myself for once?
Yes.
No.
So, well, that's a good, you know, that's a good segue. How do you, as a performer, I mean, you've performed at, what, the NFR and Cheyenne Frontier Days and your rodeo, mm-hmm, and you do all these things. How do you still come back to yourself and kind of remember, hey, I'm a horse girl. This is supposed to be fun. These are my friends. My horses are my friends. How do you relax with them? What do you do?
I don't.
You don't?
No, okay.
Oh, bummer. Well, all right, then.
Great interview, bye.
Yeah. Everybody's like, well, what do you do for fun? I don't. This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally travel. I'm on the road. I usually leave at the end of May and come home middle of August. And it's myself, my two children, our dogs. They pack their guinea pig with them. And 3 or 4 horses. And we leave out on the road. And that's just life, going from fairgrounds to fairgrounds, from rodeo arena to rodeo arena, the occasional horse expo or show. But we do enjoy it, and that they're life. And I think what I struggle with the most are keeping my kids from getting resentful of my horses.
Yeah.
Because they see me, you know, feeding all day, washing horses, this or that. I'm like, I could have a 9-to-5 job, you know, and I try to explain it in a way. This horse just bought you dinner.
Yeah.
This horse just bought that toy that you like. So now that they're getting a little older, they understand.
Yeah.
You know, and they see the –
yeah.
And they see it, but it's also just trying to keep it, because it is so much of a lifestyle. You forget it's a job.
Yes.
And I kid, I mean, my horses are my life. And I always joke, I'm like, you know, people are like, oh, my horses are my therapy. Horses are the reason I need therapy.
Amen.
I mean, come on, right? Honestly, though, like on the therapy, an empty indoor arena or an empty arena. That's,
oh, my gosh. Fresh dragged.
That is church.
Freshly dragged.
When nobody's in there. Maybe the people are up there sweeping and cleaning. That is my church.
Yeah.
And it's just, all right, just get myself again. I don't listen to music. I don't listen to anything. I just ride my horse in that silence.
That's it.
You know, and then when we're at home, I go trail riding with the kids. And,
yeah,
you know, so, yeah.
Yeah.
That was going to be my question. Are your kids showing any interest in getting into the biz?
So my little girl has a pony that she does a little trick act with,
mini,
and she's adorable. And neither one of them really like to ride. I don't really push it. Sure. I don't really have any kid-friendly, safe horses mm-hmm. either, yeah. so that's yeah. hard. You know, my quarter horses, they have one gear, and that right. is run, run, run. And they're great at a walk, and they'll pack my kids around, but the second my little boy starts getting brave and wanting to run a little bit, there's no canter in those horses. Yeah. There's yeah. we go from walk to full out
yeah.
and jump fire. So it's like, whoa, buddy. I wish they had a little bit more, but at the same time, I'm not going to push them into it.
Of course not, because then it goes back to the resentment.
It goes back into the resentment, and, you know, they'll take it at their own time. And my little boy's hopped up and tried to Roman ride a couple of times. And he's just kind of naturally athletic, and it makes me angry to see him just hop up there and make it look easy. And I'm like, you little crap, get down. You know? But watching my little girl and her little pony and wave at the crowd, she loves it. She's a little ham. And now it's funny because when people are booking me for shows, they're like, well, will your daughter and her pony be able to come? Can we include her? And it's like, So now it's starting to get harder. You know, shows that are in the school year, they usually stay with my husband when I leave or back, you know, we toss them around back and forth. And so now it's like, ooh, I don't know if I can get her out for that show or going to have to charge extra for the pony.
Well, what a fun problem to have.
It's a fun problem to have. Yep. Yeah. All the problems are good problems until your trailer catches on fire coming through Chattanooga in the middle of the night. That's never fun.
Okay. Well, you can't just stop there. Yep. What's that story?
Well, the brakes locked up and one of my wheels caught on fire.
Oh, no.
And it's maybe 4:30 and I'm just dazed out trying to keep my eyes open.
Yes.
Going like between Atlanta and Chattanooga. And this guy comes up beside me honking and doing that. And you just immediately know. And I was thinking, okay, a blowout. No big deal.
Sure.
And I look and I can see flames and I'm like, oh, hell. So you get out and I'm like, do I unload the horses first or do I grab the fire extinguisher first? So I grab the fire extinguisher, unload one horse, spray it, unload another horse. It's still kind of burning. Get up under there, spray it. And then you're just sitting there with a wheel, you know, waiting for it to cool down so you can change your hubs. And my husband keeps me stocked with all the parts I need, like hubs and new bearings. And you got to be able to do that stuff on your own. Everybody's like, I can't believe you change your own tire. You have to.
You have to. Yeah.
Because nobody's coming to save
you. That's right.
Most men don't know how to change a tire anymore. You better know how to do it. So, but that kind of thing, it's different than a regular blowout. Those are pretty straightforward.
Yes.
Stuff starts melting together, freezing and locking up. You got to get a sledgehammer and that gets different. So
you're so cool.
No,
I know you guys she's so chill about this story. Me and Allison are like sweating.
Okay. So on this topic, I have a funny story. I have a few, but I'm going to stick to this one. We were on our way to California. And we're about to go down Donner Pass, which is a big mountain out there.
Yes.
And I needed to fix a brake line. So me and my kids stop around Elko, Nevada. And my mom was with me. She takes them into the bathroom at a rest area. And I just get a brake line. I'm going to put it on really quick. No big deal. And I get under the trailer and I look over to my right and I see this really, really big cricket. Not Jiminy. This is not Jiminy. This is Jiminy's. Like mutant zombie apocalypse cousin.
Oh my God.
And then I look over again and I see another one and I look, there's like 50 of them.
Oh Lord.
And I'm kind of freaked out and I've got my wrench. I'm just kind of, I got my brake line. I got my wrenches and I'm like, okay, I'm not afraid of bugs. I'm good. And then I hear this noise and I look over and this cricket is eating a dead cricket.
Oh no, they are zombie crickets.
And I'm like, that's not normal. I mean, this cricket's maybe the size of my fist. This is not a... Then I hear blood-curdling screams. And I look at my little girl is running. I'm talking screaming. And I get out from underneath the trailer. The entire side of the rest area of the building is covered in these crickets.
Oh.
Look it up. They're called Mormon zombie crickets. Mormon
Stop
crickets.
Stop it right now.
They're like apocalyptic. They take over and they cover. They come through. Every now and then they'll hatch out like every 5 or 6 years. They're everywhere. They cover the roads. You have to drive over them. They cover people's houses. They eat their entire yards. They burn them off with flamethrowers. It's absolutely insane.
So it's like the cicadas that I grew up
with.
Yes, but
they're huge. They're nothing
like that.
Look them up. I'll show y'all in a minute. But if you're listening, zombie Mormon crickets. It's crazy. They called them Mormon crickets because when the Mormons settled in the Utah area, they came through and like destroyed their crops and stuff. So that's how they got the name Mormon crickets. And that's kind of their general area. My trailer was covered. It looked like I'd ran through blood. I had to get my trailer washed. And when I got to Salinas in California, some of the other contestants were covered too. And there was actually a lady from that town on the rodeo committee who was in ICU because she wrecked her car from sliding over the top of these crickets.
Oh my gosh.
So there, that was traumatizing. This took a turn. So I jump in the car or in the truck, and we run down. We get about an hour away and stop at a Love's truck stop. At this point, I'm just over it. I go up to like the service center. They wouldn't help me. Something about not anyway. So I get back under the trailer. My mom takes the kids inside to McDonald's, and I'm under the trailer fixing this brake line. Keep in mind the horses are still on the trailer, and I'm underneath there, and I feel something kind of warm. I look down, and I'm being peed on by one of my horses. No, no lie.
Thanks a lot,
guys.
I'm
so overstimulated right now.
What's funny is I'm trying to video to get some funny, like, sort of, like, content. Like, yeah. I'm going to do this. Like, why not video?
Let's laugh.
And then my mom walks up, and I'm like, Mom, I just got pissed on. And it's all over my it's all over my stomach, my shirt. I'm soaked because it's just dripping down through the floor of the trailer. And I'm like, well, hell, I might as well just keep fixing it while I'm under here. And I just got up and I went in the truck stop and took a shower at the Pilot.
Thank goodness.
But we got the brake line put on and hit the road.
You never know what could happen out there.
And that all, was all within like a 3-hour time span.
Oh, my God.
So,
you know, I don't think there's anything that can top that. No. So,
and no. When I tell people the creek story, they look at me like, I'm like, no.
I'm going to look them up.
Look them up.
I don't want to look them
up. Well, I'll do it for
okay,
you.
Okay, you tell me. Yep. I don't want to see them.
I'll convey, but that is terrifying.
So that's what I do for fun. You asked me what my hobbies. That's how I enjoy horses.
Well, Jessica, this has been a hoot and a holler.
Come see me at Fantasia.
Yes.
Buy tickets.
Buy tickets. Yes, baby.
Maybe I'll just tell this story until I'm doing my act.
There you go.
You could have a comedian trick rider act, you know?
I like it. I think 2027.
Stories from the road.
Yeah, my career needs to pivot a little bit.
Well, thank you for coming on
the
show.
Absolutely.
And making our day.
Yes, and we can't wait for everyone to come see you at Fantasia.
Yes, thank you.
Tonight,
super excited.
Friday night, Saturday night.
Correct.
Tickets are still available.
Yes, they are. Tickets are on sale online, or you can come if you're here at the show and you haven't got your tickets yet, go to the information booth in the Bricker building, and we can hook you up. You got to come see Jessica.
Yeah, so many good acts, too. The Pink Pony, the line of Pink Ponies. The Ghostbuster Mobile is here.
I know. I saw it.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know if I should have said that or given that away.
It's all right. Then we'll do a little.
Yeah.
I'm not posting any photos or videos of it, though, until after Fantasia's over.
The worst part about being a performer is not getting to watch.
Yeah. Yes.
You know.
Yep.
That's the hardest part.
Yes. No, it's a great show. So come see her. And how can people learn more about you, Jessica? Is there a Facebook or a website?
Yes, I have a Facebook and my Instagram. I'm much more active on Instagram. Just okay. Jessica Blair, Roman and Trick Rider, or I think is my hand. Just search the name. I'll pop up.
We'll put it in the
wherever you
notes.
See a girl on two white horses jumping fire, that's probably me. So
it's probably you.
Yeah.
We'll drop a link in the show notes. And thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today.
Thank you, guys.
And joining us now is Jenna Schult, managing partner with MyStride, which is a new sponsor, first timer at Equine Affair. And this is a super cool app that really simplifies horse ownership. I mean, is it that easy, Jenna?
It's absolutely that easy. Yep. It's very, very easy. To talk casually and kind of funny, it's dummy proof, okay? It's literally going to help all of us simplify our horse lives, okay? This app is for horse owners, barn owners, pros like our farriers, our body workers. The future looks like bringing on vets.
Wow.
You know, stuff like that. That is quite a ways out, but right now we are building MyStride to help the horse individual. If you have one horse, or if you have 30 horses that you're taking care of. This is an operating system, okay? So this is going to store your horse records. This is going to take care of your lesson appointments, your farrier appointments. We want everybody to kind of onboard and work within the app to simplify everything. Just like a one-stop, right there's everything's right there.
Can you, like, take pictures of documents and upload them to
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yes. So, I know with personal experience, I'm always like, oh my gosh, where did I put that email with my Coggins? I'm from Wisconsin, so you have to have your Coggins at every event. Yes. You know, if you're 1 mile from your house or 20 miles, whatever. Yes. So I'm always like, oh darn it. And I got to scroll through my email to find my Global Vet link and be like, oh, there it is. You know, I'm going to have everything right there within the email. So, which is going to be super, super handy. You can upload your registration papers. We do want to, in the future, MyStride work with shows. So, like, any show registrations, stuff like that can be within there, too. So,
I love that. And so, of course, tracking your vaccination schedule, your deworming schedule, yep. Farrier, body work, all those things. I mean, if it's all right there on your phone.
Yep.
We need that.
We do need that. We need that. That's the future. You know, I'm... Our goal is to get rid of the whiteboards and the
barns.
Oh,
my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There's so many
mistakes. That's a big goal.
Yeah, it's a big goal. And it's going to take a little bit. You know, I mean, there's a lot of us that are probably set in our ways.
Of course.
And that whiteboard has worked for years and years and years.
Yeah.
But I hear so many stories of people coming to the booth just this yesterday that, I mean, one story was one of her boarding horses actually rubs his hiney on that whiteboard and erases her whiteboard.
What a
and she
stinker.
Loses her lessons. Yeah.
That's awful.
Although he's probably just trying to get out of work. Bless
he's
him.
Absolutely. He's like, I don't want that lesson today.
That
I don't
kid
want
pulls
that
on
lesson.
My mouth too much.
Yeah.
I don't want him riding on me.
Yeah. And I had another. This was an event we did last fall, and this woman runs a 40-horse boarding facility. She said she has boarders that will erase stuff on her whiteboard. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. No, that's critical information. Yeah. You know, that's stuff we need to know. So MyStride, your homepage is going to be an activity. It's going to be that whiteboard. It's going to show, like, what do you have today? Do you have lessons today? Do you have a farrier appointment today? Is the vet coming out at 3 o'clock? And it's going to be right there, okay? Then you also have those vet records right there or those x-rays for the farrier to see.
Nice.
They're right there in that app. I talked to my personal farrier about this, and he said, you know, this would be really handy if I had that information prior to an appointment, mm-hmm. because he can go on the app then, because if I share my horse's information with him,
yes,
he has access to my horse, okay? He can't change anything.
Good.
You know, that's structured very strong in the app, but he can go ahead and look at those vet records that I let him see, and he can go, okay, I'm looking at these x-rays. I know what's been going on for the past 6 to 8 weeks. He doesn't have to talk to me for 30 minutes prior to that trim.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to make everybody a little more efficient, get to that next appointment, help that next horse.
And have the knowledge from everybody else. It sounds a lot to me kind of like my chart, right, for our own medical stuff. Like my GP can see it, my specialist can see it, and everything just moves along.
Yep.
And like that change personally has been huge, and I'm sure we've all enjoyed it. So I can't imagine applying that to horse ownership.
Yes.
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yep. And if you sell a horse...
It can
transfer that ownership.
Oh, my God.
You're not going to be emailing everything. You're not going to be looking through
That's
years
amazing.
Of file folders. It's in the app. We're sharing it to the next owner. Previous owner is cut off. You're done.
Wow.
Like, you know, if you have paper records, because, you know, we all should still have backups, right?
Yes.
Of course.
You have those paper records, but you just shared everything. You just shared years of vaccination records. We have all of that information within the app as far as, like, the brands and manufacturers of the vaccines and the medications, feed, all of that's in there. You do not have to manually type anything in.
I love it.
If there's a product that you don't see in our drop-down list, there's a handy little submit that it's not in there, and it's going to fire to our team, and they're going to get it in there.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking about how much easier this will make pre-purchase exams.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, think about that, having actually the entire history.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Or going on vacation or going out for a weekend and you need someone to feed your horse the 55 supplements that they need or remember so-and-so has to have his muzzle on or
exactly
you got to hold the hose just right to make the, you know, like just whatever.
And it's one of those things. I used to run a 40-horse boarding facility, and that's I actually met Dave. Dave's the creator. He's the brains. He's an amazing guy. He walked into my barn one day at an open house, and he said, hey, can I chat with you? I've got this idea. And I said, yeah, and this was almost 3 years ago now. And so we went into my office, and mind you, my office has sticky notes and whiteboards and multiple calendars.
Exactly what we all know and love.
Yes. In chaos, okay? Mm-hmm. And he's looking around, and he's like, you need this. And he starts telling me what his dreams are for my stride and what his intentions and plans are. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And so we started collaborating and working on ideas and let's do this and how do we do this and this, this, and this. And then that brought us here. Like we've got the basis of what we need for this app to really start running and changing everybody's lives. And I'm like, we need this because so much gets lost in translation and text messages. Yeah. And I said, you know, because I worked 7 days a week. It's just right.
The nature of the business.
It's the nature of the business. We all do it. And I said, it would be really nice if I did have a day off. And let's say I forgot to put on the chore sheet that grazing muzzle needed to be on Hank that day, you know?
Right.
I can go right into that app, make that change, and it's live. It's real time. Now, quite a few people ask, well, what if my Wi-Fi is really not good in the barn?
Good question.
You're still going to post that. It's still going to go into the app. When you walk out and you get back in service, you refresh your screen. Okay.
Awesome.
And there it is. So everything's live.
So this is it's on iPhone and Android?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yep.
And it's a paid app?
No.
No?
No.
It's free?
Ladies, world, everyone, stop. It is always going to be free.
Well, okay. You've been burying the lead now.
Yeah. Yep.
So, okay, so yeah. It's free.
It's free.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
It's free. Okay, so next question is, well, how can MyStride do it? Is it going to be full of ads? No, never. We're not doing pop-ups. We are not selling your information, nothing like that. Where MyStride is going to have their revenue is through the payment processing end of things. So if the barn, pros, lesson instructors, you know, that those kind of people want to do their billing within the app, they can. And then that is a small processing fee on for MyStride.
That's amazing.
And I'm talking minimal, you ladies. It's like 1.5%.
Nice.
Nobody's forcing you to do anything. This app is free. We want everyone to use it. It's literally going to change our world. It is. It's going to change the horse world.
And I love it because you guys have been sponsoring Ride with a Pro this year, and it makes it so easy to write the copy. I just say, you can have everything in your stride.
Yes.
It's in my stride.
It's
you
in
know?
My stride.
And it's such a cool name and just a great concept.
Yes.
So, and it went perfectly with Ride with a Pro.
Yes.
You guys have sponsored that this year.
I love it. We are so happy to be here. 2026 is huge for us. Mm-hmm. We're actually doing Equine Affair in Massachusetts, too.
Yay!
We're doing quite a few big shows. Next week, we're going to be at Midwest Horse Fair in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be at the Kentucky 3-Day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've got the Mini Horse Association show in September. I mean, I think we've got about a dozen on our website that you can go on our website and see where you can find us.
And that was going to be my next question. So the Google Store on Android, App Store on iPhone, what's website and socials?
So right now, I do want to mention, we've got about a week or two before we're really ready for public launch. We're being sticklers on that. We do not want to send it out before we're comfortable with it being ready.
Sure.
That just aggravates people. You
sure.
know, if there's a lot of bugs, we want to make sure that they're out. So like I said, Dave's working around the clock on that. So right now when you go to download, which if you stop at our booth, we have the QR code. And that's going to bring you just to a little contact form for your name. And then we'll let you know when we're ready to get that, when it's ready to download. So,
perfect.
So we're still a couple weeks out. But when you're at these shows, stop in and see us. Or if you go to our website, you know, mystride.com, you can find it right there. Check it out and download it from there.
And then I'll be notified once it's live, and then I can download it.
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Yep. You'll be ready.
Perfect.
Yeah. And my card and everything is right at the booth, so you can stop and grab that too, because if you have any issues, you can reach out to me directly or Dave directly, and we can help you through anything.
Wonderful.
So, yeah,
fantastic.
Customer service is also going to be top-notch for us. Like, we want to make sure that we are helping and answering any questions or any problems, you know, if you get a loading error or something, we're gonna get through that right away.
Well, thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you so much.
And we'll put that link in the show notes for mystride.com. So if you want to take it all in stride, you know where to go.
Wonderful. Thank you, ladies.
And joining me now is Caroline Lambert of Alpha Mare Gallery. And Caroline, is this your first equine affair?
Hi. Yes, it is.
Well, welcome.
Thank
we're so
you.
Happy to have you. And I have to say, your booth just draws us right in. Caroline is an incredibly talented artist. She does all kinds of wildlife, animals, pets, but a real specialty in horses. So Caroline, tell us where you hail from and how you got into the art business of horses.
Well, first of all, thank you for the compliment on the art and the booth. I appreciate it. I am all the way from Savannah, Georgia. I grew up in South Carolina and have been a horse lover my entire life. I've ridden horses and had horses my whole life, so they're very special to me. And I moved to Savannah, Georgia in 2024 and have a little gallery there. So
fantastic. And do you have horses of your own currently?
So not currently. My last horse I sold a few years ago because I want to start traveling and really focus on the art. But my entire life I've had them, and now I focus just on painting them.
I think most of our listeners totally understand that. Having horses certainly makes it hard to travel. Yes. So tell me about some of your favorite piece in the booth. I mean, you guys, it's like I'm in heaven. I'm surrounded by beautiful horses here.
That's so kind. Oh my gosh, thank you. I have to tell you, I have two favorite pieces. The first is the fire horse, which is in the front, and it's very special because this is the year of the fire horse. That is going to be the cover for a coffee table book that I'm doing about horses, which I'll tell you about in a minute if you
like. Oh, yes, please.
So, very special signature piece. But also, I have a memorial tail painting here, which you can see. And it's where I basically attached the horse's real tail to a custom commission, which is a wonderful way to remember a horse that has passed. So, very close to my heart, being a horse person myself, both of those are my two favorites here right now.
Well, and it was really sweet before I hit record, Caroline and I were talking about the memorial piece and, you know, would it be too heavy or something for the show? And I think us horse people, we get it. You know, yes, there is a sadness to it, but this horse really, it's like he's alive looking at me in his stall with his tail to me. And the fact that I could, you know, as his owner, go up and touch his tail, I'm really like...
Yes.
It's emotional. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And so that's really a special way to remember a horse that has passed. Tell us more about the fire horse and your coffee table book.
So the fire horse is inspired, obviously, because this is the year of the fire horse.
Of course.
And for a long time, I have wanted to represent the special connection that horses have had with humans throughout history and how they've shaped our lives, whether it's therapy or sport or, you know, police work, warfare. I mean, horses do so much for us and have absolutely shaped humanity like no other animal. They're incredibly special. So this year I decided, in honor of the fire horse, to do a beautiful full color coffee table book depicting my paintings and the stories of the horses that go with them.
Oh, so I love that.
I have paintings from clients as well as their stories about why their horse is special. But I also have 12 signature pieces. Each piece will depict one way horses have helped humans. So there'll be a police horse, there'll be a therapy horse, there'll be a Mustang. Be 12 different types, each with their own story in the book, and it will culminate in a solo show in Savannah, Georgia, in my gallery at the end of the year. But these are all horse people that I know or have met through art, horses, many of them that I have met personally. So they're very, it gives me chills to talk about it. It's a project really important to me and close to my heart, and I hope that it might resonate with people here as well.
And then after it goes live at your show, will that be something that's available online?
Yes. Actually, it's available online right now. You can go to my website, which is alpha-mare.com, and there's a whole page dedicated to the fire horse. The pieces, as they're coming out, are posted on my site, and the book for pre-purchase is on the site as well. So I'm so excited to share these stories, because when I do custom commissions, people always tell me how special the horse is and why. And I've always cherished those stories, and I wanted a way to share them. So this is, I think, a neat way to share all of them. We'll see.
It sounds beautiful, and I certainly can't wait for my copy. Where else can people find you? We have your website. Are you on socials as well?
I am. So you can follow me, I think, on Instagram and Facebook. Just do at Alpha Mare Studio. That's where I am. If you're ever in Savannah, Georgia, I have a gallery in City Market, Alpha Mare Gallery.
Very cool.
And then, of course, online. So I try to be everywhere.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Caroline, and enjoy your first equine affair.
Thank you, Ashley.
Joining me now is Amanda, who is the CEO, may I say?
You may.
The leader of Hooves. So, and I'm not talking about the four on our horses. Tell me about what you guys do at Hooves.
Well, thanks, Ashley. I really appreciate the opportunity to share our mission. We are a sanctuary located in Northwest Ohio, and Hooves stands for Healing of Our Veterans Equine Services. We serve veterans nationwide through a five-day healing intensive, and it's always provided to them at no cost.
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
Absolutely. And so they come to our sanctuary, they fly in from all over, and they get to spend 5 days doing a lot of different healing practices, and many of them incorporate our rescued horses, whom most are formerly wild Mustangs.
Okay, I'm sorry. Did you just hit all of my favorite checkboxes?
It's possible.
We're helping veterans. Mustangs are involved. And a free trip. I'm sorry. Amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing. So you're in Northwest Ohio. So this is available to any veteran in the contiguous United States?
Absolutely. We've had veterans almost from all 50 states.
Cool.
And what's really awesome, I know you're a military spouse, is that we also provide the exact same program for military spouses
as well. Oh, that's so incredible. Well, do you have maybe a favorite story you could share with our listeners, something that might resonate?
Well, I have a lot of stories, but I'm actually going to turn it over to Drake here, and he's going to share a little bit about his personal story.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks. Thanks, Drake, for opening up with us this morning.
Absolutely. So a couple of years ago, I was not in a very good place. I got out of the Marine Corps, would been over in Afghanistan, had not received any help, experienced PTSD and a number of trauma situations. And the beautiful thing is I managed to find hooves, flew out from Washington State.
Wow.
Went through the program, refound purpose, refound hope, and that flair for life, and continued in thriving. And then moved from Washington out to Ohio so that I can be a part of the program and help facilitate and help other veterans learn those programs and learn the tools so that they can flourish themselves.
That's incredible, Drake. I'm so glad that the magic of horses could help you. Tell me about your favorite horse.
It's so hard to say a favorite horse.
Okay, I'll give you two.
I had never been around horses before in my life until a couple years ago. There's Nova, who is absolutely astonishing and amazing. And the first time I went through Hooves, Milkshake, because Milkshake brings all the healing to the yard. Milkshake was amazing. Just was able to make those connections, do breath work, being able to connect to a horse and be grounded and find that that peace and that calm and the quiet that I wasn't able to find in my normal everyday life.
What would you say to a veteran who was curious about the program but maybe had a hesitancy?
One of the things that I hear frequently from veterans, and I was in the same spot, was, well, there's somebody else more deserving. There's somebody, I'm just going to be taking somebody else's space. If you ever feel like that, that's part of why a lot of us are veterans, is because we've put others before us. But we can't continue to help those around us if we don't take the time to help ourselves. So if you're curious, if you're in any type of situation where you realize things may not be normal or status quo, take that time not just for yourself, but for those around you, to take the time out of your daily life, come out and find some healing and find those tools so that you can make a difference.
Incredible. Drake, thank you for sharing your story. Amanda, where can folks find you?
You can locate us at our website, Hooves, HOOVES.US.
And are you guys on socials?
We are. All of our socials are at Hooves, HOOVES, 4FOR, Vets.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for your time today, and thanks for doing the really good work. We need it.
Thanks,
so,
Ashley.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity.
So this one goes out to all of my history buffs out there. I am so excited. I ran across Ashley Swink, who is the author of the Roman Equestrian series. So tell me, how much history and how much steamy? What's the breakdown?
It is a very good mix.
I love it.
So I have been to Britain on about 8 different research junkets,
oh
actually visiting all of the locations that are in the book. and getting to actually interact with a lot of the historians and archaeologists that have been doing a lot of the excavations on the ground from this era.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I've included so much history all the way through the book. It is very, very detailed. I've had other authors talk to me about how they're like, you have so much history packed into these books.
Oh my gosh. So tell me the setting. Tell me, give me the synopsis.
All right. So we are in mid-first century CE Roman Britain. And so we're about 16 odd years on from when Rome invades Britain. And so the Britons are still not quite adjusted to Rome being there and not really wanting them there.
Mm-hmm.
So things are starting to come to a head because the Romans don't like the British Druids because they're kind of fomenting unrest among all of the people. So we're heading towards this reckoning that will eventually explode into the Boudiccan Rebellion, if your readers are familiar with Boudicca. And we have a Roman centurion who's near the end of his stint. He wants to retire. He wants to go back to Rome and start a horse farm. But all of this events that are going on are kind of conspiring to make those last few years very difficult for him. And he runs across another horse lover, only she is a tribal member of the Cornoi tribe. And so they are, it's an enemies to lovers type thing because they're on two opposite sides of this conflict, but they both love horses.
Come on, what better love story is that?
Yeah.
So you have to tell me, when you were on all of these research missions, which I am now going to charge to Glenn that I need to go on for the podcast, is there something that stuck to your mind that was like really fascinating, like you never knew?
Yes. Where I first got this idea, actually, I was in the Museum of London prior to when it was shut down and then redone, and there was a skeleton of a horse from the first century CE, one of the Roman horses.
Yeah.
And it's so much smaller than the horses today. Yes, they were much smaller back then. And so that got me thinking about what horse breeds were around then. And so that got me really interested in learning about horses at that period in time, the ancient history, what breeds they gave rise to. And so, yeah, it was very, very fascinating learning about that. And then that got me that idea that I need to have.
Slippery slope.
Yeah, very much so.
That's so interesting because I'm looking at some of the Roman art in your booth right now, and like the horses look big and muscly.
Yes,
and
they
you know,
do.
Like I've been to the Trevi Fountain, those horses are huge.
Yes, they are.
I just assumed they were all these big, beasty Roman soldier horses.
They were like 15 hands at the highest.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's such a fun fact.
Yes, it was.
And is this your first equine affair?
No, it's not my first equine affair, but it's for my first one as a vendor.
Okay, so, now you've seen both sides.
I have.
That's so fun. Well, I hope you have a great time as a vendor.
Yes.
And tell me how people can find you.
People can find me on amswank.com. I'm also on TikTok as amswankauthor, and I'm on Instagram and Threads as amswank.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
You can learn more about Equine Affair at our website, equineaffair.com, or our Facebook page at Equine Affair, or on our YouTube channel.
You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning or your favorite podcast player, and be sure to check out all of our other shows at horseradionetwork.com. Hope to see you at Equine Affair.